In the last 10 years, our field has gone from an unknown specialty to a household name. This brings unprecedented opportunities, but we need to rise up to meet them and give our patients the care that they deserve. In order to help others get better, we need to be better. This podcast will help you to become more confident with your patients, more successful in your practice or business, and a leader in pelvic health. And we're going to have some fun along the way. Join us as we rise together. We're Jesse and Nicole Cozine, founders of Pelvic Sanity Physical Therapy and the creators of the Pelvic PT Huddle. And this is Pelvic PT Rising.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Pelvic PT Rising podcast with Jesse and Nicole Cozine. Hey Nicole.
Hello.
Talking today with Dr. Jen Furboni. Nicole, I know you are so excited for people to get to hear this conversation.
Yes, you all know her as Dr. Jen Fit. She is an amazing physical therapist. She has been deemed a top 40 PT influencer. She's been featured in things like Shape Magazine, Self Magazine, Men's Fitness, Muscle and Fitness, and all kinds of other things. She is a freaking online Instagram mogul, one of our own in the physical therapy space. And here's the thing. I really love her story. She has paved the way for people in the PT field to see a different path other than just treating in the clinic. And I love that we go over her journey to being online and to reaching people that need our help online. I think she single-handedly has influenced me for sure and has probably influenced all of you into a different path forward for physical therapists. We can't be more thankful to her for taking the time to come on the podcast today. And I know you're going to love this episode.
It is great. She was so much fun to talk to. Before we dive in, Nicole, we have a date for your Vagus Nerve Masterclass.
That is
going to be on the 23rd of this month. So April 23rd, you'll be doing that live. Of course, it is 2024. A replay will be available if you can't make it for that day. But if you're interested in that or seeing more information about that, find that at pelvicptrising.com/Vagus. So with no further ado, no more gilding the lily, here is our conversation with Dr. Jen Furboni. Hey guys, so excited to welcome Jen Furboni, Doc Jen Fit, to the podcast. Jen, thanks so much for being on and joining us.
Thanks for having me. Honored to be here.
Dude, so what's so funny is that Jesse on our calendar was like, who the heck is Jen Furboni? And I was like, dude, it's Doc Jen. And he was like, oh yeah. I'm like, what a testament to your branding when we only know you as a Doc Jen Fit.
It's so true, though. That's literally all people know me from.
Yeah, which is super awesome. We're going to get into all of that here in a second. But Doc Jen, I would love for you to just give our Pelvic PT Rising podcast listeners just like the overview of kind of your career, if you can do it in a nutshell. I feel like you've taken a little bit of an unorthodox path into what you're doing now. And so can you just give everybody a little walk down memory lane of how you came to be Doc Jen Fit?
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't expect to be running my own business, or like I used to say business, that's over my head. I'm always going to work for someone. And I taught Pilates while I was going through school. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll do Pilates rehab and I'll do pelvic health. And that was like my plan and everything. And then as I started to go along, I was like, you know, that sounds kind of boring if I'm just stuck to that and I want to be able to do other things. And so it just started to kind of expand. And I met an incredible community in LA. And it was so funny because I just posted like a video of me working out outside on the bars, like at a park, and doing like, I used to be a gymnast, so I still wanted to maintain my pull-ups and my pullovers and different things like that. And a calisthenic page reached out and was like, oh, you should come to LA. And I was like, oh my God, a big page that I follow is like reaching out to me. And so I went down to Venice and I met up with all the guys. It was like a ton of guys at the time, but it was such a cool community of welcoming and like as I was going through PT school, I started competing in calisthenics and doing, and then learning acro yoga and doing all these things. And had this like LA life that I was like in love with on the side of PT school. He started like just posting me. And so I was like, oh, I guess I just do handstands now. And I just start posting things. And my page was Jen_ES_care, because that's how you phonetically said my maiden name and everything. So I had no intention of going on Instagram to grow an audience or to build a business. And once I graduated PT school, I just wanted people to know, I know a little bit about the body more than just like, hey, look at me do cool things. So that's where I was like, okay, I'm going to change my name to Doc Jen Fit, and I'm going to sprinkle in a little bit of education. And I don't know if anyone's going to care. People already probably already know about this. I mean, I was a new PT, had imposter syndrome. I was following people I admire. So I'm like, what if I say something stupid? And I had all this imposter syndrome coming up. But I was like, let me just say what I know right now to be what I think is true and see what happens. And I remember waking up in the morning and it had more views than any other video. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, what if I just lean in a little bit more and a little bit more? And I saw that just kind of started to grow. And that's when about a year and a half into working at the clinic, I was like, you know, it's cool that people are following my Instagram and getting little clips and things of something that can help them. But what if I put it all in one place? And so that's where I was just like, I'm going to launch a course. And I had no idea what I was doing. So that's when I really started to talk to a lot of the entrepreneurial friends that I had. I just reached out to people and was like, can I buy you lunch? Can I sit down with you? Can I ask you questions? And I remember Lori Harder at the time sat down for 4 hours with me and like laid out exactly how she would launch and exactly what she does. And it was amazing. I was taking all these notes and someone else told me to read Jeff Walker's book From Launch. And so I read that and I was taking notes, and that's when I launched. I think it was like I shot the program in like July and I launched by November. And I had no expectations, no understanding of what would happen. I had friends tell me, just be happy if like a couple people buy. And I'm like, totally. And I hit six figures. And it was a crazy thing to be like, okay, I'm working in person with all these people. And I just hit six figures in a week from a launch. You know, it was this crazy thing to see as a PT, not making that much money in LA, to all of a sudden hit that. And so I just started to say, what if I leaned in a little bit more? What if I leaned in a little bit more? And that's how things started to transform to what they are today.
Dang. So that was your first friggin' launch. That's crazy.
Launch. Yeah.
That's nuts. However, I will say this, that you had been consistently posting and putting yourself out there, though, for
how long?
For how long, Jen?
I mean, 2 years of educational stuff.
Yeah.
I believe. And then before that, it was all the fun calisthenic acro yoga stuff.
Right, 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 right. So for anyone listening out there who's like, I'm just going to throw something together, right? It's like, right. But there was that. So you said all of the sudden, but it, you know, really wasn't all of the sudden. It was it was 2 years of dedicated, yes, basically providing a ton of value to folks in things that you were just paying attention to what they liked. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that was the main thing that I like to try to tell people about as well, is that it's not something that just happens. I got so many people reaching out and telling me that they were purchasing because of how much I had provided them and because of how much they liked and followed my stuff. So I had some people reaching out, I'm just going to buy whatever you put out because you've given so much for free. And it was that idea of
reciprocity. Yeah.
Thank you.
Brain, it's fine.
The word is there.
Yeah.
But, you know, having that and being able to see how much that impacted the result at the end of the day and not holding on to an expectation of result, but I did have things set up. I didn't just put things out there. And I think that's what I see a lot of young PTs that I talk to. Oh, I'm going to put out a program and I'm just going to say now that I have a program. And I'm like, but what are you going to do to build into that? How are you going to launch into that? There has to be a strategy. It's probably not a good idea to just be like, I have a program now. And so there was so much buildup to that. I asked questions. I polled my audience. I sent out surveys. I already had an idea of what people wanted from me because those were the mobility videos were the ones that hit. I posted about everything. I posted stability, skill, strength, mobility was what people liked for me. But I still asked because then if I ask, then they feel like they are helping create the program with me. And I'm not just providing something I want to give them. I'm providing what they need and they want.
Yes. Love that. Now, do you feel like at that time, you said you had been about a year and a half out of school, essentially working at a really great clinic and stuff. But do you feel like you had a sense of your, of any sort of like clinical philosophy at that point? Or is that now morphed more into your brand now? Like, do you feel like you had that back then?
Not as much. I mean, I was taking courses outside of going to PT school in that last year as well, because I knew that there were things that I was interested in. And there were people I was following who were saying things that I was like, that sounds interesting. That's different than what I'm learning in school. Like, what? How can I lean into that a little bit more? And so there were courses that I had started taking. And I actually, in my last year of PT school as well, I met a chiropractor who was working on my boyfriend at the time. And she was in his home working what looked like a full PT session, body work, exercises. And I was like, wait a minute, you have my job and you're doing it in home and on your own. And I was like, what is this? At the time, we didn't have direct, or did we just get direct access? I believe we had just gotten direct access as
okay.
PT. And so I remember sitting in our business class, quote unquote, in PT school and saying, you know, I met a chiropractor who is doing her own thing and going to see clients and taking her table around and her tools. You know, now that we have direct access, can we do that? And she said, oh, no, 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 that would never work. And I thought, you just told a class of 60 something people that something's not possible. Like, that sounds crazy to me. And so I bought a table. And alongside my job, I went to a CrossFit and I asked if they had a PT in the area, or, you know, that was working with a CrossFit, and they didn't. So I started taking clients on the days that I had early days at my PT clinic. And I started to just see, does this concept work? If I were to not be in a clinic and I could do cash base, would this work? And I started to build up my own clientele until I got to a point where I was like, okay, I could do this.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And so, Jen, did you then actually run a cash-based in-person practice as you were building all of your online stuff as well? Well, I actually didn't know that. That's fascinating. What was that like? And how was that kind of transition as you realized that maybe one was growing faster than the other?
Yeah, that was a hard transition, because when you go into cash-based, especially I think for a lot of PTs, when you first make that transition, you're doing everything, right? You're admin, you're literally everything. So there's like, there'd be days where I'm like, oh, I didn't schedule a lunch today, so I guess I'm not eating, you know? And it was just one after another. Well, it was, I was starting to build that on the side. And at the same time, social media was doing social media things. And I was getting asked to be on a magazine or to do different things. And it happened to be on a weekend. But I thought to myself, what if it was during the week and I had to say no because I had a job? And so I just, one day, it just kind of hit me where I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to take a leap. And I text my bosses and I said, can we talk on Monday? And one immediately texts back, don't leave. I'm like, sorry, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of took the leap of faith of just, I have proved that this can work. And there was a gym that I was able to go to and put my table and set up to have a space so that I could work and do exercises with clients. And so I just kind of started to build that. And then once I launched online, I started to say, okay, I need to put a little bit more attention here because I don't know what the heck I'm doing online. And it's very overwhelming. And so I started to go from like 6 days with clients to 5 to 4 to 3. And it just kind of like started to melt down the more that I had to put attention into the online space until I was working about 2 to 3 days a week consistently in person and also online.
Yeah. Well, we know how much of a grind that is, even just, you know, seeing like what you said, everyone always thinks about, oh, I can just see these 10 patients or these 12 patients, but it's really 2 to 3 times that amount of work when it comes to the admin and the scheduling, yeah, and the documentation and all of that.
Yes.
And they'd be doing that while you're building your online platform. I mean, that's massive to be able to do all of that. I like what you said about it just being kind of overwhelming when you started to go into online business for the first time and you realize all of the different stuff that you just don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
How did you navigate that kind of sense of overwhelm when it's like, okay, now I got to figure out not just social media, but now I've got to be emailing people. I need to be taking payments. I need to be, you know, setting up this teaching platform. I need to be doing customer service now. I mean, all of that stuff is a massive new skill set that, you know, obviously a business class in PT school that says don't go into business for yourself didn't prepare you for. So how did you manage that kind of sense of overwhelm as you were getting into the online space?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so my roommate at the time, who now is a full-time employee with us, which is kind of crazy, but I was living with her and she would just watch me like cry because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing with this website stuff and I don't know what I'm trying to do here. And so she'd be like, how can I help? What can I do? How can I step in? And so she just started kind of like helping me on the side. She is more of like a dancer artist. So she was very artistic. So she could create graphics for me and like help with web design and like help with different aspects. She started helping with customer service and she just started to like step in and her and I were doing the thing. And, you know, I will say I was very grateful at the time. I was dating someone who was already in the online marketing space. And though he didn't have a lot of capacity to help me, I had a lot of people around me that I could go and then ask of like, okay, well, if he doesn't have time, let me ask this person or let me ask this person. And so I just started to ask people who were already doing it. Well, what are you doing? What are you using? What email service are you using? I mean, man, if I would have been collecting emails that whole time I was teaching for 2 years on Instagram, I had no idea I needed emails. And so when I first launched, I launched my program by doing a free week of mobility first, a free 7-day challenge so that I could get people into an email list. And so I asked everyone I knew, and I didn't care if the answer was no, if you had any kind of social media following, I asked if you would share the challenge. And I was so grateful to have an incredible community who was willing to support me. And I was at an event and I listened to Jesse Itzler speak. He's married to Sarah Blakely. Right. What's her name?
Yeah.
Spanks.
Yeah.
Words are not good for me too. But listen to him. And he was just kind of like, you got to just ask. You got to just try. You got to just put yourself out there. And so I was like, okay, let me just ask. So I had a list of people and I just asked if they would share about the challenge. And so many people shared about it. I got like 10,000 emails in that first challenge, so that I could launch into the program. And that, it wasn't my social media. It was that impact that allowed me to sell, I really believe.
That's fascinating too. And I think the takeaway there is that if you wouldn't have asked, then, or let your imposter syndrome or anything else, or even just like not 100% confident that, you know, you weren't bugging people and the people pleasing aspect of everything. Like if you would have let any of that little stuff get in the way, not saying that you're a people pleaser. I don't know if you are, but I'm thinking for our listeners, maybe they are. If you're letting any of that stuff like get in the way of action, of just putting yourself out there and asking, then I think that that's, you're doing yourself a disservice, right? Because if you wouldn't have done that, there would have been no way you would have launched as big as you did.
100%. And I still have my community of girls who are like, hey, I'm having this webinar. Do you mind sharing about it? And I'm like, sure, give me the link. Let me put it up. And that's what I'm used to. I'm used to just having this community of people who is willing to support anything. And it's so incredible to still have that around me. And I do guest speakers in some of my challenges. And I ask people like, hey, would you mind just coming on for 30 minutes doing Q&A? And they say yes. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you. Like, it's so amazing to have support. And I think that is all I've known coming on to launching into online business, is having that community support, having someone sit down with me and tell me exactly what to do, having people share what I do. I remember Vinny Rehab, he was huge at the time on social media. He's kind of died down a little bit more now, but he not only shared my free challenge, but he shared my course launch. He put the link in his bio. And I was, where you think PT is competing, he was open to be like, here, here's my friend, here's what she's doing. And it was such a cool opportunity to see how community can really say, hey, there's space for all of us. And I will say at the time I was in a personal development course, which really helped me get out of that imposter syndrome and step into my confidence and be able to go on lives and feel passionate about, here's what I'm doing, here's why you should come in. And people really saw the shift, I think, in me as well. Oh my goodness. When my social media started to grow, I hated people seeing who I was. I felt judged. I didn't want people to see all my insecurities. So I was just like, here's my body. Here's what it can do. Look at how cool. Like I was had all the insecurities. So coming out and speaking on what I'm passionate about and asking people, that was huge. But I will say, like, go to therapy or go to a personal development program or do something that's going to get you out of your way, because that was the biggest impact for me.
Yes, 1000%. Yes. Double yes on the therapy situation. For anybody, for any reason, just do it.
Is there any particular advice or any kind of mantra that really resonates or that you would want to share that got you out of that? Because I know that's something that almost all of us struggle with. And if we don't, it's probably because you've got mental health issues on the other end of all of this stuff. Like, yes. But was there anything that was like really particularly helpful that you remember or something you still think about, if there is anything where that pops up again for you even now?
You know, I think for me, it was rather than focusing on who might judge it or who I'm not talking to, which is other PTs. Like, I'm not talking to other PTs. So if they don't like what I'm putting out and what I'm doing, well, the product's not for them, but here's what I believe in and here's what I know can help people because of the feedback that I've received. So if I just lean into that and I really embody what I've seen, what I've experienced, what I know to be true, and I lean into that, then the possibilities are endless. And that's what I always continue to lean into. Like, algorithms change and things, the posts don't go well, but if I just continue to lean into who am I really reaching and who am I really speaking to and who and why am I doing this? Then that is what I always come back to. Being on social media for as long as I have been, man, I mean, at least 2015, it's been a long time. So,
yeah, you know,
being able to continue to lean in and flow with the changes of what is happening and who can I still reach and knowing that people care and people might not say it, but people care. And so keep leaning into who you're talking to.
Yeah. And I want to pull out one thing from that, because I can imagine that with the amount of your growth and the amount of your following, that there's no chance that you haven't gotten some pretty nasty stuff, especially when you're doing things that we all learn in PT school, like we shouldn't be doing, essentially. Like, we learn in PT school, individualized care and what, you know, we don't really even learn one-on-one, but we learn this like model of what physical therapy should look like. And you're basically flipping that on its head and being like, I'm actually going to do a patient-centered or a person with a dysfunction or an ailment or a pain. I'm going to take that, use my knowledge and make something for the masses. I'm sure you got some physical therapy or even chiropractor or allied health backlash from that. Mm-hmm. Can you just speak a little bit about that? I mean, I know you already said a little bit like, you know, they're not your audience, but you can't not hear it sometimes. So what did you do?
I always try to drop into DMs with people. And if they're commenting, I'm like, let's have a discussion as PT, PT to PT, about, do you think that, is there a study that you want me to read? Is there something else you want me to look at? I'm open. Like, let's talk about it. Let's suss it out. You know, this is what I've learned at a course, but it could be wrong. So what else do you have for me? And sometimes they're open to having conversations and sometimes they're not, and that's okay. And I just don't tolerate it on my page because it's not for you. If you want to be heard, then come talk to me. I'm open to talking and having conversations, but I'm not open to making drama where it doesn't need to be. Yeah. And that is something I'm very clear about. And I've had people who are like, I don't like how you posted that. I went and listened to the podcast and I agree, but I don't like how you posted. And I'm like, because you're not who I'm talking to. I have to meet people where they're at. And that's the reality. Do I love it? No. Do I love that people are told they're out of alignment and all these things that I don't agree with? No, but I have to meet them where they're at in order to then get them to where I think they could be. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm not doing my job. And it looks different on social media than it would in person. And I have to be okay with that. And so it's a continual process. Like, we'll be on a podcast and Dom will be saying something and I'm like, well, what if we say it in a different way? And he's like, stop thinking about people who are going to like not agree with us. And I'm like, well, you know, and so it's still in my head. It's still something I battle of, you know, the people who are committed to tearing others down on social media. And that's out there. And I see it. And sometimes I follow it just so I can see what's happening. But I don't like to be involved with it in any way.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good lesson to pull out from all of that is that you've made a conscious decision on what is and isn't allowed on your page, what a boundary essentially that you've set with that, and an openness to that says, if you want to have a conversation, we're happy to. And if you don't, then basically F off. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might not say that, but I'll say it for you. And I love that because I think it really is important. And when we're doing our business marketing and stuff or business mentorship, and we talk a little bit about marketing and how you need to market to patients, I feel like PTs are notorious for putting our clinician-based language as if somebody understands what that means. And if somebody, for instance, in the pelvic health space with a diastasis is mad about how it looks and that's their motivation, then we need to meet them where they are with that. And yeah, do I sometimes not love that if we say something about a mommy pooch or talk about the C-section scar shelf, like, sure, I don't want to have to say that either, but that's what the person on the other end is thinking about every day as they put on their pants and they're put on their jeans, right? And so I love that we're using it essentially in a way to get the people to see what we have for them. And then on the back end, we're like, and also I'm a doctor of physical therapy and this and that, which I think is really awesome.
I mean, it's hard. I feel like I beat a dead horse at times where I still get people, well, how do I fix my anterior pelvic tilt? And I'm like, haven't I done a million videos about this?
Right.
You know? And so it's a continual thing that we just get to keep preaching and teaching and seeing how we could do it. But I don't think it needs to be done by tearing someone else down.
100%. And then I know you mentioned there, Jen, you and your husband, Dom, do the Optimal Body podcast together. I've got so many questions about how you guys work together without killing each other. But first, how has that been for you being able to do a podcast and getting to have that little long form? Because I do think that that's, I loved what you said, that the stuff that you put on Instagram and social media is a snippet. It is a different format. It's a different whole mode of communication. And then you get to be on a podcast and actually flesh out an idea and have a conversation and a back and forth. Did you adapt really well to that podcast style, or was that a little bit of a challenge after almost being trained in that social media form of communication for so long?
I love it. If we could talk about something in a little bit more depth, I mean, this is what I do with my programs is I get to have a longer video where I actually teach you as we're moving. And so I love to be able to talk a little bit more. I feel like it helps with understanding. Do people always want to hear it? No. I think they just want to be told what to do. But we try, you know, and I think that's the main thing. Now, coming into the podcast, I was already in a place where I was like, there's too much on my plate. And he really wanted to do it. So I was like, okay, if we do this, you're in charge of most of it. Like, you're leading it. I'm going to show up. I'm going to come with the topics. I'll research with you. But like, you're going to be there. That's really kind of driving this because I was already too kind of overwhelmed with thinking of different things for social media because we're on YouTube and we're on Instagram and he actually reposts my stuff to TikTok. So I'm not even really on TikTok, but we try to like diversify as much as we can. And so coming into that, we actually used to do 2 podcasts a week. And then coming into baby, I was like, this is enough. Once a week is all we need. We don't need to be stressing about doing 2. So we do every other week is just Dom and I talking about a PT question or diagnosis. And then every other week is we have a guest on. So it's worked out and it's been good so far, and it is fun. It's something that I do enjoy and I really do love now.
That's awesome. Okay. So I have a question. So before Jesse, I dated a PT and that did not go well because I was always like, you're saying wrong shit. or like, that is not what I think is happening. So I was just like, it actually ended up being our demise because I was like, I can't do this. So Dom's a PT.
Yeah.
Is there any time, do you guys have philosophy differences or do you guys have anything that you like disagree on or any like clinical clashing of that? Or is he just like, you guys are just in step all the time?
I always laughed about that. My dad would say, oh, you're going to marry a PT. And I'd be like, no way. I don't want to be like competing, you know, ideas or anything. I had the same mindset as you. And when I met him, there were so many things that we just immediately clicked on that we like to focus on more so, like the nervous system and the person as a whole and a holistic care and doing things a little bit different than just treating the symptom. And so when we started talking about that, it was like the first night and I was like, you do that too? Wait, you do that too? And like all this stuff that just started to connect. So we really, our philosophies on understanding connect a lot. And I would say he was also very open to how I taught with movement. He actually learned a ton about his pelvic floor and core with working with movement with me, which was super cool. And he just started to be open enough to like work with me and kind of challenge me in a way that was, I don't know, it's just always been, it's never really challenged our philosophy as a PT. It's just challenged us to move forward in what we could be thinking about and what we could be doing. So it's worked. And the fact that he's a completely like business oriented person where I'm more of like the front end, I love to do movement and marketing and all that kind of stuff, that the fact that that is in play is what works.
Right. Cool. And then so that you do have like a pretty decent division of labor between the two of you guys. Yeah. That's the same thing for us too. I feel like that's really plays to everybody's strengths and no one's stepping on anyone's toes. Exactly. And there's, yeah, division of labor is like very clear, sometimes too clear for me anyways, where I'm like, all right, I'm not doing any of that because you're supposed to. But yeah. And then how has it changed? I know you have a little one, little Dante, that is just about a month older than or younger than Clay, I believe, right?
He just turned 14 months.
Yeah. So we just turned 15 months, right? So talk to me about how working from home, working with your husband and all that stuff has changed since you now have a little one. How's that going for you, Jen?
That's tough. I mean, I'm obsessed with him. He's obsessed with me. So it's tough to kind of break that sometimes. We're very fortunate to live. We're 3 minutes from my mom. So she comes and she helps out 2 to 3 days a week for like that morning period with him before he takes his nap. And so that's like a huge help because we do a lot of meetings in the morning. We try to do shooting when she's around. We try to do interviews when she's around. So we use that time as wisely as we can. And then outside of that, we haven't had any daycare or putting him in any daycare. So we have just split like, okay, here's the work block you have. Here's the work block I have. We try to get as much done during a nap if he hopefully has good naps. And we just try to kind of like, we've been working with it that way. It's not always great and it's still hard. It's still something that we're trying to figure out how it might change, especially if we add another little one. But for right now, we're making it work. We're doing what we can. And we kind of like plan out our schedule and literally write it into like our work blocks every Sunday so that we're clear on who's doing what and how that really looks throughout the week.
Yeah. Conversion evolution with that. We have a little cozine family meeting as well. Like we look at the week ahead, we figure out time blocking, you know, who's taking care of Clay when, what's our nanny doing? Like all that kind of stuff. I feel like that's, well, thanks for sharing that because I feel like there's a lot of people that will look and you doesn't seem like you've skipped a beat, right? It seems like you're still launching free challenges. You're still doing all kinds of stuff. But then at the end of the day, like it is actually like a lot harder. I know for us, like I personally really struggled with the not knowing every single minute is changing. So it's like, just when you think you have something figured out, it's like, oh, cool, this is how it's going to be, right? And then it's like, nope, another milestone, another tooth, another whatever. And so I love just being able to talk openly about how this shit's like pretty hard. And we're all just piecemealing it on the back end, exactly. Trying to be as efficient as possible, right?
Yep.
You know, what's really crazy, I think, too, is like a business owner, you guys probably feel that, too, of just not having control over your own time. And the moment you expect something to be, oh, cool, I'm going to get a 2-hour chunk because he's been taking good naps this whole week. This is going to be great. We can get a whole podcast in. And it's like 4 minutes in and then you hear something rustling and it's like, oh, no. But yeah, it's a whole mindset shift with all of that. It's really been really kind of nuts for us. And I'm sure it has been for you guys, too, in the best way. And then also trying to juggle all of these different responsibilities we all have is a real challenge.
It is, especially when like we have a whole app development team where we're like, okay, let's get this and this and this. And I'm like, okay, that's going to take a little bit more time to get that out, but I'm going to do my best, you know? And so it's kind of like trying to integrate and innovate still and have that mind power to think and be able to come up with even different ad sets and different things and different posts on Instagram, you know, and how we're continuing to put out content and continue to grow is something that sometimes I come into like a roadblock of like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. But it's just continuing to move forward little by little and knowing that it's a time in life right now and it's always changing. Like you said, things are always changing. So I just kind of try to roll with it.
Yeah. Now, quick question about this app situation. So we just skipped over that. Like, that's not a big deal. So for those of you who don't know, Jen has her whole app. So can you talk a little bit about like the evolution of that? Like, was that something that just sort of, you know, organically was like, oh, I need to do this? Or was that something that you had in your mind, like really early on? Like, what was that all about? And how has that been working for you?
Whew, how much more time do we have?
I know.
So I'll try to wrap it. I mean, so I came out with a one-off course, The Mobility Method, in November 2017. And then in 2018, I launched a membership called the Optimal Body Membership. And those were like my two, and I used Thinkific. I used Thinkific to launch everything. Okay. I liked how easy it was to integrate to everything. Everything was made sense. It was just drag and drop. It was easy to create. So that was kind of my process. And I actually met someone who offered to create an app and go split 50-50. And my whole intention was just to have the Optimal Body have a login so that they can use an app type format rather than, because though Thinkific had come out with an app, it was more like web platform. I don't know if it's gotten better now, it might have, but people really wanted that app experience. So I ended up creating an app, which I didn't have to pay for, but let me tell you, it wasn't like a pretty app that I promoted. It was just something that he kind of had like free content on the front end that you could kind of like try to search and scroll through. I think there was a little membership fee if you wanted to unlock more of that content, but it wasn't something that I really put time and energy into. I just wanted a login for my Optimal Body members to be able to have that app experience. So we had that for a while. And then it was actually, so Dom transitioned into the business during COVID when he had moved out to LA and lost all of his one-on-ones.
Oh.
All of a sudden, COVID happened and he had no more work. So that's when he was like itching to do something. He's like, you have like 300 emails. Let me do something. And I was like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And eventually he started to just kind of like go through things. And all of a sudden I was like inbox zero. And I was like, what did you do? How did you do that? And he was like getting back to people. And he was like creating spreadsheets and organizing things. And I was like, oh, wow, I've never done that.
Yeah, he looks pretty good now. You're good for something.
So that's when he was like, well, what if we actually did something with the app that you have as well? And so we asked the guy and he was like, you know, I don't have the capacity right now, but here's who I can connect you with who can create a whole app experience. And so that's when they were like, what if we took what you have and actually built something that we really kind of treat as a startup? And we ask people exactly what they want, why they've left the membership, why they never took a membership, why they're still in the membership, and why they follow you on social media, just like all the questions. So we started interviewing a ton of people and we took a year to rebrand. And instead of calling it the Optimal Body, because they said it was too long, call it Jen Health. And I was like, oh, that's just my name. And they said, yeah, but it's easy. It's something short. And so if someone gets out of pain and they refer it, they said, oh, have you tried Jen? And so that was the intention. It was not me as a person. It was the idea of this is a pain app that can help people. And so we took a year to really hire developers, build out a whole app experience. We launched in, was it 2022 or 2021, I think?
Yeah.
And here we are still working on developing it, making it better, listening to feedback, and trying to help the whole process along. It's a big undertaking because we have a web platform plus an iOS plus an Android, and we didn't want to white label. At the time when we talked to some of the white labeling, it was more fitness related, and it just didn't have a flow that I really wanted. I wanted people just to have a different experience with coming into a daily little rehab where it wasn't a fitness routine, but it was different. So that's why we decided to develop our own. It's a huge undertaking. It's a lot, but it's something I'm very, very proud of.
Yeah. Cool. You should be. And I feel like thank you so much for sharing just that whole process, because I feel like that's another interesting thing that people look and see, like, oh, well, Doc Jen has an app. Like, oh, wouldn't that just be so easy to do, right? And it's like, no. First of all, your whole 10 years of being online and understanding what people like and want and need and teaching in that way, and then also still taking a year to freaking do your market research on asking people what their motivation was for being there and being okay with asking people why they didn't like you, or not you, but like your platform or your mobility stuff or whatever. And then, man, that is so cool. I love hearing that side of it, right? Because I feel like not very many people talk about that. We always talk about the end product and forget to talk about the the many, many years and tears and trials with trying to make that work.
Yeah.
So I want to hear more about working with Dom, because you've made it sound like this has been so great. And I'm sure on most of the times it is, but there has got to be, Jen, something in there where you, something funny, something where you, like, where do you guys butt heads? Like, what's been the real challenge for you guys in working together?
I mean, I think it's mainly like the frustration of what each of us are dealing with and then trying to come together and like vent about it. And like, I don't have time for you and I don't have time for you. Trying to understand how we have this whole work-life balance. When we do come together as well, we're trying not to talk just about work, which is hard.
Hard.
And yeah.
We have to schedule in connection time. We have to schedule in what that looks like, what we're doing, and when that is, so that we're not just like tired at the end of the day and turning on a show and disconnected still. You know, it's either talking about work or you're disconnected. So it was like, how can we build in intentional time to really connect and to make sure that we're taking care of our relationship and taking care of ourselves as well? And we have to also work in separate spaces, because that was the thing that would always happen is something would come up and you want to like bounce something off someone or ask about this, but they're in the middle of doing something else. And so that's where most of our frustrations would come if we were like in the same space. So he sometimes like goes and works outside of the home, and I like to work inside the home. And so that's how we have kind of found a better balance and flow of things.
Yes. And that probably took a little bit of time to figure out, right? Because there's different iterations of what that looks like based. And so also based on what you're working on, because it's, to us, it's different when we're trying to talk like something pelvic sanity or marketing or whatever versus like, hey, we've got something with rising and you do this and I do that. So there's a lot of different moving parts with that muddled with relationship stuff where it's like, or you pissed me off the night before and I'm just like, I don't really want to talk to you about X thing that I didn't do last night because you're being an idiot. So yeah, but that's just the cozies.
But yeah, it's fun when you actually deconstruct that. So for those of you listening who are thinking about, you know, working with a significant other, it's so fun and so rewarding. And honestly, I would have a hard time if you guys, as, you know, kind of the faces of what you've built, it's hard to have somebody who doesn't really get that, who doesn't lean into that a little bit. And it's so important that you know, it's really been so fun for me to be there and do some of that. But yeah, we had a new rule recently. Our more recent ones were we don't talk about work after nine because Nicole wants to kind of just like decompress and like talk about all that stuff. And I'm such a doer that she's like, oh, we ever get back to that person about that? I'm like, ah, shit. Pause the movie. I'm going to go and respond to those emails right now. So that was our rule. But yeah, it's just that constant thing of trying to find that balance. And I don't know, I guess sometimes you guys might be experiencing this as well, just with seasons too, where it's like there's seasons where you guys are like all in and that was, and then now, especially with little ones, it's like it's not really that season at this point for us at least.
Yeah. I mean, same. And that's something that we've actually been talking with our app development team. Like, how does that change? How does that look? I don't want to always be like on and selling and, you know, the pressure of all of that. So what does that look like and how does that shift? And it's so funny. Like, I can't talk to Dom after nine because he's like brain dead and already going to sleep. That's our problem. He's like, I can't process what you just said.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Send me an email. I'll read it for me.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Okay. So then one last question about you and Dom. So when you guys do, this is like A, B, or C. When you guys do your couples connected stuff and you post that to Instagram, is that, or really not A, B, C, maybe it's just A and B. Is that work or is that connection that you just happen to film or is it both?
Definitely play. Like if we do our little couples challenge and stuff and videoing and putting it up, that's play.
Okay. That's interesting, right? Because you could easily say like that's work. Yeah.
Might consider, I guess, because, oh, you're trying to build engagement and all that stuff, but we're just also just sharing something that's
fun. Good life. Yeah. I feel like that's an interesting point about being on social, right? Whereas like people are always like, oh, is that really real life? And it's like, yeah, it's totally real life. Like it is like, this is me, that's you, you know, and just things that we happen to like let people in a little window of.
Exactly.
Well, it is real.
Taking time to like get off the couch and not watch a show or to decompress. Like I'm working with you and it's funny and we're trying to challenge ourselves and we're like having to get like it is connection time. Like even if it gets posted, that is us connecting. That's real life.
I love that.
It's really cool. And as I kind of think about your whole journey here, Jen, I feel like one of the big takeaways that I've had from this conversation is that you don't necessarily have to have this like master plan. Like you didn't start off in 2015 deciding to take over Instagram the way that you have, right? What are we going to do today, Pinky? We're going to take the same thing we do every night. We're going to try to take over the world, right? But I feel like you were just kind of biased toward following your curiosity, doing things, and I don't think you could have ever predicted where you would end up with it, but I hope that that's a little bit encouraging for people out there who don't necessarily have this master plan, but just want to take that first step or just go to that extra course and learn something new or post something. And I love what you said about when you were early on in posting, when you said, I just wanted to say what I know and see what happens. And like anybody can do that, right? And that's the start of your journey. So I just think that's really inspiring. I think it's going to be really helpful for people who are listening who, you know, might want to take that step and haven't had the courage to do it yet.
I hope so. I mean, my whole thing in the very beginning was I have a lot to learn and it's okay if my mindset changes on things. That's the point of evolving and continuing to learn and study and be PTs. And that was my intention as being a PT is going in and how can I help people? And so if I can help people in a different way than I ever thought, so be it.
That's so great. Ken, just to close out here, Jen, where can people get in touch with you? Where can they find your stuff? Give us all the information, the details, all the good things.
Yeah. So, I mean, social media everywhere is Doc Jen Fit for sure. You can listen to my husband and I on the Optimal Body podcast. And jen.health is where we have our platform, which you can, the free version is basically Instagram searchable. So you can literally type in anything you need and videos will pop up. So it's a better access if you did want to search anything on your body to use jen.health.
Awesome. Well, Jen, I will say this too, just personally, I think that you have done so much for the physical therapy world by showing people a different path. And so I just wanted to also just thank you for that, because it really is inspiring to have somebody that's so clearly like authentic and just trying to help people and not afraid to just put yourself out there. And I feel like that has it has changed a lot of what our field can envision for themselves, each individual person and the therapy field at large, because of what some of what you've done. So just want to say thank you so much for that too.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here. We love talking with you, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pelvic PT Rising.
I hope you guys enjoyed listening to that conversation as much as we enjoyed having it.
Man, she's so awesome. We're just so thankful to Jen for taking the time out of her day to come onto the podcast. And I hope you all had really some great takeaways from this episode.
Absolutely. So as always, we'd love to hear from you guys. If you want to drop a review, you can always do that as well. But we always appreciate every single one of you who is listening. And we want to keep this conversation going.
And let's continue to rise.